This is a WEEI special broadcast. It's day two of the 18th annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, presented by the Arbella Insurance Foundation. Today on Dale and Keith, Terry Francona.
I think it's one of the most special things I've ever seen, not just in Boston, but in the whole country.
Sox GM Dave Dombrowski.
I think it's unique to Boston. I don't ever see this interaction to this type of totality between the different organizations with a specific cause with the Jimmy Fund.
And Sox pitcher David Price.
Something we've done every single year since I've been here, and I know it's gone on, you know, a lot longer than I've been here. And, you know, those days are very special, and it kind of starts friendships that you hold on to for a very long time.
Now, live from Fenway Park, here's Dale Arnold and Rich Keith.
Welcome back to Fenway Park, our 18th annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. Dale and Keith in hour number four for us, but trust me, we're going till at least midnight. OMF will be in here at 2 o'clock. They've got a very unique coaches roundtable coming up at 2:30. Red Sox manager Alex Cora, Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy, Celtics head coach Brad Stevens, and Patriots head coach Bill Belichick all on
That's
at the
be
same
great.
Time.
I can't wait.
Be an incredible group. And we're very happy right now to be joined by Kate Beckett from Portsmouth, New Hampshire, who is here, along with Dr. Ursula Matalonis. Kate, let's start with you because you got the diagnosis originally of metastatic endometrial cancer 6 years ago. And it's been kind of an ongoing process for you since then.
It has been, and I'm still in the process. But yes, about 6 years ago, I was diagnosed actually with endometrial cancer. And then I had a complete hysterectomy, and everything looked fine. They said you shouldn't have any problems. And 2 years later, actually a little before that, I started to get a pain in my hip. And I just thought, old age, you know, and it just went. And finally I said, I'd better see an orthopedic surgeon. So I went to an orthopedic, and they started treating me, not knowing what the heck was happening. They did little MRI, so they never really got a full picture of anything. And after about, 6-7 months there, and the pain just kept getting worse and worse, and they said, we don't know what's going on with you. And they finally did a full MRI, and that's when they found a rather large tumor in my hip that was cancerous. And that was the first metastasis. And so I went back to, this was Leahy, and they put me on chemo, which lasted, that was 6 months. And then they wanted to do some other things that just didn't feel right to me, so I ended up going to MGH, to a fabulous surgeon there. And she removed the tumor, and the tumor grew. I had a scan right after the surgery. The tumor was already growing back very quickly. And then they did radiation, and the tumor wasn't stopping. So they put me on an oral, two oral chemos then, and one of them caused a real problem with my lungs. And I was having trouble breathing, so they ended up taking me off of that. And I just felt it was time to go to Dana. And I met Dr. Matalonis. And, just before I left MGH, actually, they gave me 3 years to live. And in some way, that was a relief because I thought, boy, I'm really tired. And this has been a rough road. And, sorry.
Don't have to be.
And so I went to Dana, because at first I thought, well, good, this will be over, and I won't have to do this anymore. And then I started to think, but I want to see my daughter, I want to see my grandson, my husband, you know, sunsets, all of it. And so I said, I don't know, I'm going to try and fight this war. So I saw Dr. Matalonis, and she immediately said, no, your lungs are a mess. And so she had me see a pulmonologist, and because they wanted to put me, well, first of all, let me say, I back up here. She told me that if I had come in 8 weeks earlier than I did, they would not have been able to offer me what they're offering me, which is immunotherapy. And so they checked my lungs, and they're watching it closely because this immunotherapy can also be toxic to the lungs. And they did clear me for the immunotherapy, and we're watching the lungs. And luckily, my lungs have cleared out even with the immunotherapy. And not only that, I've been on this, what now, 7-8 months, something like that. And I know this doesn't work for everybody, but it's working for me. And I feel better than I have in, I don't know, years and years. And I really feel like I'm alive again, and I have my life back. And Dana has been so wonderful. Dr. Matalonis, everybody there has just been fabulous. And Dana does something that I can tell you, for someone that has been through a lot of medical treatments and they get their veins poked all the time, they have a system whereby they have a bank of nurses, and you go in first thing in the morning, and rather than going to a phlebotomist and getting your blood taken and then going to someplace else and getting your IV, they just do the one prick, to put the IV in, take the blood from the IV. And that doesn't sound maybe huge to most people, but it was huge to me because my veins are getting pretty tired. So, one of my infusion days, it was my birthday, and the nurses came in with a cake and sang happy birthday and a sparkling cider, and everybody's just very, very caring. And you need, when you're going through this, you really need that kind of support. It gives you an anchor. It gives you something to grab onto, to say, yeah, I can do this. And Dana has just been, and Dr. Matalonis, I can't say enough about her. Just wonderful.
And doctor, what can you say about, you know, Kate had already been down the road with treatments that did not work. So it's not, you did not meet her right away. You did not treat her right away. So trying to balance what other doctors have already tried, and then now you have to plan your own attack. How does that work?
So Kate's tumor had a specific marker associated with it, something called microsatellite instability, and that was noted on a pathology report. And that's exactly the kind of cancer, especially when one is not responding to chemotherapy or even other targeted therapies, that might respond to immunotherapy. And she is fortunate enough and has really responded quite well, quite extraordinarily to immunotherapy, just single agent IV immunotherapy.
I want to get back to something that Kate had initially mentioned, doctor. The immunotherapy that you began treating Kate with had only been approved 8 weeks before that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the timeliness of what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
And the advancements that are being made. Eight weeks.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Correct.
And more of these things are happening all the time.
Absolutely. And folks and patients need to just hang on, because new discoveries are happening, and it's not just years, as you correctly just say, it's weeks. It's sometimes we'll just get, information on a weekly basis that can change how we take care of somebody that week. The progress is extraordinary.
It is extraordinary.
So what is the treatment like now, Kate? What's going on with you? How are you feeling?
I'm really lucky. I'm feeling great. I really haven't had much in terms of reactions to the immunotherapy. I go in, it's so much different than chemo. I go in, the infusion is about 25 minutes, and then they do a little flush, and I'm done. So, and I go in once every 3 weeks, and until I'm cleared, which I know I'm going to be.
Yeah. A little flush is what we call it.
That's all it is, Dale.
Just a little flush.
A quick flush. That's it.
Now, you and your husband have a rather unique business also.
Yes.
Which I found fascinating as I was reading about this. You guys make board games.
Yeah, we do. We both work full time, but and this is one.
So your hobby is make board games.
Our hobby is this, and it's very important, I think, through this to stay as normal as you possibly can. So we just continued with the games. We run them through Kickstarter. They're Mint 10 games. And we decided, actually, it all started because we were in a restaurant one day and we noticed everybody was, they're sitting at the table and they're on their phones.
Yeah.
And so we said, wouldn't it be neat to have a little something they could take with them and play there at the, while they're waiting for their food? So Mint 10 games was born, and our first pair were Mint 10 aliens and Mint 10 pirates, and they come in a Mint 10. And then we did a little Mint 10 mini apocalypse, which was in a mini tin, and we just did Skullduggery, and we're getting ready to do our next one.
So how do you play? What's the story? So the alien game, take me through that. How does that work?
So the alien game is, boy, I may need my husband for this. I haven't actually played that one in a while. You have cards, and you have to find...
Oh, I just was handed one here. Hold on a second.
Okay.
This is
glad you brought that.
This is the most excited
I'm very excited.
Has been
I'm
in 2 days
here. This is amazing. Oh, look at this. So that this one, is the mini apocalypse.
That one is the mini apocalypse, right. And that one's really, that's a game that people play at the same time. So you're rolling dice and you have to come up with the same number to either move your man into the, your person, I should say, into the into the dugout to get out of the way of a monster and a nuclear attack.
I love it.
And it's just fast, it's fun, and entertaining. It gives people a way to communicate rather than sit on the phone.
That is really cool.
Well, Kate, it was a pleasure meeting you, and I love your story, and Dr. Matalonis, the advancements that continue to be made, which literally weeks before wouldn't have been available to Kate. It's an amazing story. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you very much.
It's great to visit with both of you. Both Kate Beckett and Dr. Ursula Matalonis joining us here as we continue on. Coming up in just a few minutes at the bottom of the hour, Red Sox pitchers David Price and Nathan Eovaldi will join us. The big team picture will take place at about 3:15 this afternoon. At 3:15, they will bring the entire team down here. They'll get together out there with the giant tote board, which, as we sit here right now,
sits how are we doing?
At $2,168,804. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I sincerely mean every single one of you who have made a gift and a donation. I can't thank you enough, but we need to do more, and we're going to continue to try to do more. You can call us at 877-738-1234. That's 877-738-1234, and we sincerely hope you guys will continue to make those phones ring and all those volunteers out there get busy.
And you can text KCANCER to 20222 to donate $25, so another easy way to donate. Dale already gave you the number. You can go to the website, jimmyfund.org, so a bunch of different ways to get in here and donate and continue to see that that total rise.
As we get our next group in here, and it's always like a troop movement. You know?
Oh, yeah.
We get one group out,
like a line
we bring
change.
Another group. It's like a line,
it's
change,
a line change
in hockey, very much like that. Joining us right now is Katie Kennedy from Westwood, and Nancy Campbell, who is a clinical exercise physiologist at the Dana-Farber. Katie, let's start with you. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, great. Thanks, Dale. I'm really excited to be here.
Thank you.
With Nancy. So do you want to hear my story?
I do.
Yes, we do.
No, it's a funny thing.
Imagine that, right? Yeah. Okay, so I was diagnosed about a year ago. I was 48 years old with colon cancer. It was a big surprise. I didn't have a lot of the symptoms that people might think about. And I was also turned away from doing a colonoscopy because I was less than 50 and I didn't have family history. So I think it's a great message that people don't wait till they're 50 to get a colonoscopy or wait till they're in pain like I was. So I did come to Dana-Farber. I had the most wonderful doctors, Dr. Ron Blade and Dr. Jeffrey Meyerhart. And through that, I got to know Nancy because I was in a study, a weight resistance study, to help me through chemo. Basically, it helped my body. The premise is that if you build your muscle during chemo, you can tolerate the treatments for the duration, and also continue to have muscle mass, lean muscle mass afterward. Right, Nancy?
Correct. Yeah.
So what she's saying is she's jacked right
pretty
now.
Much.
Is that what we're going for?
No. Yep. I feel like it's pretty ironic because a lot of people don't realize when you do chemo, you do gain weight, and it's not always in a good way. So to do this treatment, I can't say I didn't gain weight, but I did lift my weights. And it was pretty good because I was really wiped out and exhausted during my treatment. So I would, basically stagger into the next bedroom and do my weights, and I would feel like I conquered the world during those
Now, you had sessions. 12 rounds of chemotherapy, is that right?
I did, yeah.
What got you through it?
I did have great support, and I'm a huge fan of Dana-Farber. I actually love the place. And out of my treatment there, my husband ended up getting a job at Dana-Farber.
Really?
Yeah, so it's really amazing because thankfully I'm not in treatment right now, but he comes home with some good stories every day about the difference he's making. He's on the 14th floor of Yawkey Building, and it's just, I mean, just incredible. Everybody at Dana-Farber, and I know your other guests have said this, right? You know, to the valet people, the people in the cafeteria, the Zakim Center. I'm a big fan of the Zakim Center. And a lot of people live far away, so they don't realize all the services that are available. Thankfully, I'm pretty close, and, you know, I might complain about the traffic on the VFW.
Sure.
And
then, we all?
Right, but then fine. You find out somebody came from Florida.
Right.
And it's like, ooh, yeah. Shouldn't say that. Well, so anyway, I would go to the art center that they have there at the Blum Resource Center, the Zakim Center for exercise classes, meditation, massage, oncology massage, which is, it might sound like a luxury. It's a huge big deal when you have a port and you can't sleep because you have a port. So, I don't know. There's also lymphatic drainage massage. Mm-hmm. I think I said acupuncture.
Well, Nancy, let's bring you in here because you've been at the Institute since 2005. And I love, we talk about the complete treatment modality here. You've been involved in studying cancer survivors and exercise. Now, I'm not sure that's something most of us would have thought of and the importance of it.
Right. It's definitely a field that has come a long way, even in my short 10 plus years. We have really learned that for a long time, exercise was contraindicated. We thought, well, people are tired. We're hearing Katie talk about how fatigued she was. So maybe exercise, maybe that's not a good idea right now. But now we're realizing, like, no, we need to. And not only do we need to exercise, we thought walking. We thought that was really good for a long time. Oh, people should walk. But what Katie, we're thankful for her participating in our study because we're trying to help keep people strong. Because, as she alluded to, people often gain weight, but they're often gaining fat and losing muscle, which is generally not.
How have you found people, are they open to trying these fitness classes? Or they say, listen, I got enough to deal with right now. I don't know if this is going to help. Or are more and more people starting to take these classes?
More and more. Yeah, it's been great. We now, 2 years ago, opened up a dedicated space for the Zakim Center to have our classes right on campus, right where everybody can just cross the street over from Yawkey. And, you know, we've got everything. We've got chair-based classes. If you're feeling like you need something a little more low-key, or you want to be doing more strength training, or you want to meditate, you know, we have all, whatever you need, we've got it.
Now, Katie, you continue to work. You are, and by the way, I'm not surprised when they told me you're a communications consultant, because you communicate very effectively, but you're at Fidelity, and you've been able to keep doing this?
Well, actually, I did take time off during my treatment.
Yeah, well,
I mean, it's debilitating.
For obvious reasons. Yeah.
I went back on July 1st, part-time. And then I think one of the amazing things about this journey is I may decide that something else would sing to my heart more than what my current job is right now. So I'm exploring. And I really have been moved. It's not just my husband, by Dana-Farber. So I just think it's really powerful how they're so kind and they make such a difference. So I may
That's
be
why
expanding.
Max went there, right?
He did, yeah. But he's having a work crisis now and couldn't be here to join us.
Oh,
so
no.
Thanks
oh,
a lot,
no,
right?
No. So I think it's pretty clear, you guys, when we see this number rising, $2.1 million, but we know where the money, you guys firsthand know where this money is going and how important it is.
I really do. And I have to say, I rode the Pan Mass Challenge for 4 years before I became a patient. So my first time at Dana-Farber, I got really welled up. Like, I can't believe I'm a patient. I'm a rider. Mm-hmm. But this money, it's so important. And I also did the Jimmy Fund walk in the past. I mean, I can't, like, tell people enough how much I appreciate everything about Dana-Farber and that it's money well spent. I mean, if you don't know somebody that's been affected by cancer, chances are you will.
Right.
Or they don't want to talk about it, and you do right now. So I would just say put the credit card down.
I think people, Nancy, hear of certified trainers. My daughter is a physical trainer. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that anybody's ever heard of certified cancer exercise trainers, which is what you are.
Exactly. They're not that many of us, unfortunately. There's more, you know, again, in my 10 plus years, you know, we went from having five people in the state. Now we've got, you know, more than that. But we're hoping as more trainers and as we have more wonderful survivors out there who want to exercise and might need some, you know, special help with that and accommodations and knowing how to work around their treatments. So I'm hoping that, you know, there's some trainers watching that they'll be motivated to work with people like Katie and help keep her strong and healthy for many, many decades to come.
Well, it's great to visit
Hopefully
with
I'm
both
not
of
that
you.
Difficult to work with, though, Nancy, right?
I mean. Hold on. We'll turn the mics off. You can just feel free to speak.
Cut to break. Cut to break.
Go quick. We got to. Katie, thank you very much for
coming
in.
Oh, thank you.
And Nancy, it's great to visit with you as well.
Thanks,
thank you both for being in here. We're continuing live from Fenway. In just a little bit, Red Sox pitchers David Price and Nathan Eovaldi will join us as well. Please help light up the Arbella tote board by calling 877-738-1234. 877-738-1234. Live from Fenway Park, you're listening to the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, presented by the Arbella Insurance Foundation.
Hi, this is Andrew Bogars. Every dollar goes to cancer care and research at the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber. You can pitch in today with a $10 gift by texting KCANCER to 20222.
Actually, Xander, if you do text KCANCER to 20222, it will be a $25 gift. And it's about as easy as we can possibly make it for you. We hope that you'll take advantage of that. We hope you'll call 877-738-1234. Or if you can go to jimmyfund.org, there are ways that you can make your gifts there as well. I always say, and I've told Rich this before, before this thing starts, I always worry. I fret. I actually... sleepless night the night before thinking, am I going to find the right words? Are we going to find the right message to give to people that will make them understand how important this is and how much good? I saw a statistic on the Red Sox game on Nesson last night. 89 cents of every dollar is going directly
to
research and patient care.
Well, yeah, and it's the people that we talk to, too. You know, and it's great. We're going to have David Price and Nathan Eovaldi coming up, and we had Terry Francona earlier. But when you hear the patients, when you hear the doctors, the nurses that come in here and explain, you know, what they're doing, what they've gone through, that's what gets the number up. That's what gets, and we have the updated total now, Dale, $2,197,603 and counting. So that is great to see. And you're right, you wonder, you know, every year people are so generous and you wonder, well, is this going to be the year where maybe they're not as generous? But it seems like everybody just outdoes themselves. And this is another example of that.
The kids who are in here, I mean, they're the biggest reason we fight. And,
right.
And you know, it's cancer in kids, which is heartbreaking and heartrending. And little Cam, who was sitting here with us earlier.
All smiles.
Doesn't say a word.
No.
Just sits there and smiles, and he went out and took his picture outside here with both the Lombardi Trophy and the World Series trophy.
Yeah.
And he couldn't be any cuter if he were twins.
Right.
But it's the parents that I think about, and as a father, and you're a newly minted father, you just think, oh my God, what would I do if this were me?
Oh right, because just you know bringing them up anyway is a challenge, and there's so much going on, and it's new. And you know, we talked with one couple that found out that they were pregnant with their third child while their 4-year-old was diagnosed with cancer. And oh, by the way, there's a 2-year-old in there too. And so now they have to figure out a way to make it all work, get them all together, get Cameron to his treatments while also making sure that the other two are being raised right. And so plenty of challenges out there.
As Valerie said, the mom, she said, you don't know what you can do until you have to.
No, you have. Like, what are your choices? Not doing it? That's not a choice. That's not an option. And so these parents fight through. And then what we hear time and time again is the support that they get from everybody over at Dana-Farber, because they know that. And it's not, you're not just treating the patient, right? You come in there with a whole family, and then you have to make sure that you make it as easy as possible on them. And that's what's really impressive.
We've talked to a number of people over the course of the last couple of days, and almost unanimously, they've all talked about how lucky they are. Now, these are people who are battling colon cancer or leukemia or whatever it is, but they talk about how lucky they are because, God forbid you have to deal with something like this, you're in the perfect place on the planet.
You're in the best spot, and the advancements are happening every single day. And when they talk about being lucky, it goes back to being diagnosed now compared to 20 years ago, 10 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago. You know, it wouldn't be the same thing.
We're very happy to welcome in the newest group to our little confab here. Boston Red Sox pitchers, Nathan, if you can put that on right there. Boston Red Sox pitchers, David Price and Nathan Eovaldi join us here in our center field studios. Fellas, thank you very much for taking a few minutes.
Yes, sir.
Good to see you. David, you visited with us last year when you were in here with Brock. Nathan, I'm not sure. You came along last year after the Jimmy Fun Radio Telethon, so this is kind of your first experience with this whole thing.
Yeah, yep. First time. I'm excited.
David, what's the reaction when you see the kids coming at spring training, when they first show up and it gives you guys a chance to make some pretty strong connections?
It's very cool. You know, whenever you see that tent being set up outside of our clubhouse, you know, the next couple of days are going to be very special. And to go out there, you know, after lunch and to meet those kids and to see their faces, it means a lot to us.
Nathan, I was telling Dave Dombrowski earlier today, the introduction of the lineups last night is one of my favorite moments of the entire season. When each player goes out on the field with one of the kids from the Jimmy Fund Clinic, I mean, if you can watch that and not get a tear in your eye, you're not a human being, are you?
Yeah, it was a really cool experience. I mean, getting to watch all the kids go out there and take the field and, you know, the national anthem and everything, and just seeing the joy on their face, it was a really cool experience.
Was this connection, the Red Sox and the Jimmy Fund, something that you knew about, David, before you joined the team 4 years ago when you were pitching in the division? Did you know about it, or was it something that as soon as you signed here, oh, this is a pretty significant part?
I don't think I did.
Yeah.
But, you know, after my first year in 2016, you know, I found out very quickly, you know, and I think it is it's awesome what they both do. You know, just like I said, whenever we get around those kids and they come around us in spring training and at the field here, we can tell how much it means to them. And, you know, in return, that means a lot to us as well. So for us to be able to give them some happiness throughout the day, that is that's very special.
Nathan, you got to dive right into the passion of Red Sox Nation last year, and especially with your postseason performance, you got to see what people think about baseball in this town and think of the Red Sox. What's it been like for you being a part of all of this, especially on the heels of a world championship?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I mean, all of our fans and everything, all the support and love that we get from them. I mean, just the city of Boston. I mean, all the sports around here, everybody's winning and everybody's having a good time, and it's a lot of fun to be a part of.
David, have you felt different at all this year? You know, because one of the things, you know, that was attached to you was some of your postseason struggles prior to last year, where you're lights out, you almost win World Series MVP. Have you felt different this year?
No, not physically or mentally, no. Remember right after we won it, you know, hugging all the guys and hugging AC, I was like, you know, I want to do it again next year. And it's been a little bit tougher for us this year. I think we were 89-39, you know, on the date last night. So it's been a tougher go for us this year, but we still got a lot of baseball left to play. And, you know, everybody in our clubhouse is nobody's down.
I don't want to put Nathan on the spot here, David, but last year, his relief performance in L.A. got a lot of people's attention. What were you thinking when you were watching what he was doing in relief?
Stay healthy. You know, I hope you make it out of here in one piece, because you're going to be a free agent, and you know you've worked very hard to get to this point. And you know that was pretty cool. You know, for him to go through the struggles that he went through. You know, just injury wise with his arm. And for him to really stick his neck out there for guys that he had known for a month and a half, you know, for us to be able to reach that goal, that was a special moment.
Usually when you hear that a pitcher is going to see Dr. James Andrews, it usually means bad things. It usually means there's going to be Tommy John. It didn't mean Tommy John for you last year when you went, and now more recently it doesn't mean it for Chris Sale. So can you kind of relate to what's going on right now? Clearly, Sale, not healthy. You know, you had to shut him down for the season, but it doesn't appear now like it's going to be a full season that he's going to have to miss.
Well, I mean, if you're having, you know, shoulder or elbow or forearm or whatever kind of arm problems you're having, you know, Dr. Andrews is the best guy to go see. So if you're going to have somebody evaluate it, you know, you might as well go to the best, and I think that's what I did back in 2017, and that's what we wanted Chris to do, you know, and that was that's smart, you know, just the amount of arms that he over his career, you know, he's seen it all. So for him to give Chris that good feedback, you know, that's whenever you go to Dr. Andrews and he says, hey, you don't need Tommy John, that really it picks you up. You know, it's a pick-me-up for sure to hear that come out of his mouth, because I know whenever I went and saw him in 2017, I was expecting the exact opposite. And he was like, nope, just give it some time and let it heal, and you'll be back and you'll feel fine. And that was the case.
Nathan, you're uniquely qualified to talk about the rigors of pitching on a major league arm, because you only throw it at 100 miles an hour thereabouts. What does it do to your arm? Because you've been through this before already.
I feel like you have to be perfect when you're out there pitching mechanically. And when your mechanics are a little off, you put a lot more stress on your arm. And, I mean, unfortunately, I've had to go through two Tommy Johns. And, glad that Sale doesn't have to go through that and, you know, that he's going to be healthy coming
now,
back.
Now, they claim you're stronger after Tommy John. Were you?
I feel like it. I feel like you learned so much just going out through that whole process. And, I mean, you're doing so much rehab and shoulder care, elbow care. You're going through everything, and you just come back so much stronger from that.
Now, we were talking with Dave Dombrowski earlier in the show, and the topic of, you know, how you guys pitched in spring training, like that was brought up. Do you feel like, as a staff, not just you individually, but as a staff, should you have pitched a little bit more to prepare yourself for the season, or do you think that what you guys did back in February, March, was fine to prepare you for the year?
It's hard to look back at it and just say, you know, I mean, right now you can easily say, you know, like maybe we should have thrown more just of where we're at right now. But at the same time, what we were able to go through last year in the World Series and throwing so deep into the, winning it all, you put so much more extra stress on your arm, and you're either coming back on short rest instead of getting that extra month off like you normally would. And, I feel like they've done the best that they could to protect us in that situation.
David, let's talk about playing in Boston, because you had the opportunity at the end of last season to opt out if you had chosen to do so. You didn't want to do that. Mookie Betts sat in that exact chair yesterday and talked about how much he loves playing in Boston and playing in front of these fans. Do you love playing in this town as well?
Absolutely. You know, it's very demanding. I knew that before. You know, I signed here in 2016. You know, it was something that it was a challenge that I was up for, and it's had its ups, it's had its downs, that's for sure. But I remember talking to Petey, you know, before I signed, on the phone, you know, whenever, you know, guys were recruiting me from different teams, and he was like, you know, this place is extremely tough to play in, but he said it's by far the best city to win in, and you know, that was something that I wanted to be a part of. And being on that duck boat last year, that is probably one of the top three or four moments of my life. You know, it might be better than winning the World Series, like the actual World Series on the field. Like that duck boat tour was that was pretty special. I went into that not knowing, you know, what to expect really. I went into it pretty tame. And I came out of it like Gronk. So
nobody comes out of it like Gronk.
I might have been a little bit more banged up, but that was cool, and that was definitely something that I want to experience again.
What's the relationship like with some of the other pro teams in town? You know, coming up at 2:30, I think all four of the coaches/manager are all going to be on this show together. I know you guys have gone to other games, gone to Bruins games, Celtics games, wherever it might be. How have you found that bond, especially guys who have played in other cities? Like, is that a little bit different here in Boston than it was in other places?
Not really. I mean, no. I think I've – wherever we've been, you know, guys from the other teams. I mean, I guess it kind of just depends on where you are. You know, like in Detroit, you know, our stadiums are right across the street from one another. So we got – you know, on some days we would just go over to the Lions Stadium and play around on the turf, and they'd have guys in there, and they'd come over and take BP. But, I mean, the Patriots come out here. Marcus Smart was in the locker room not too long ago.
Out of the guys who have taken BP from other sports, who's been the best? Or is it all kind of a mess? I'm guessing not great.
it's hitting the baseball. Couple of guys. Tough.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. That's a tough one. Okay. I don't want to put anybody on the spot.
One of the guys that we've talked about all season long, and David talks about how hard it is to hit a baseball, and it is. It's really hard. And I watch what I see Rafael Devers doing this year, Nathan, and I'm thinking, what the heck is going on? Everything he hits is going 108 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's incredible the year he's having. I mean, the consistency he's bringing every night. You know, I think people forget how he started the season and then where he's at now. It's really unbelievable.
Dale, I just want to jump in here and say Lakin and Brock Holt have donated $15,000 to the Jimmy Fund.
I'm just
I just wanted
to
pass that along.
To hear that.
I mean, you guys got to be just so impressed with what Brock Holt has done. Obviously, the captain of the Jimmy Fund efforts here and the relationships that he has made, it's got to be pretty inspiring.
It is cool, you know, and to see the stuff that he posts about on Instagram and all the stories and all the stuff that he does, you know, it's he gets choked up about it, you know, whenever he starts talking about it, so you know that it means a lot to him. And, you know, we tell him all the time that we love him, and that's part of what makes Brock so special, and he's just he's a big part of this city.
Well, fellas, I know that the task seems daunting as you look at the possibility of a playoff spot, given where you are and the numbers and everything, but we wish you the best of luck the rest of the way, and we really sincerely appreciate you loaning your voices and your presence to this event. Thank you both very much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Good to see you guys. Live from Fenway Park, this is the WEINS and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, presented by the Arbella Insurance Foundation.
Patients at the Jimmy Fund Clinic and Dana-Farber need your help.
We have to get through it, and we will, with the help of Dana-Farber and the help of you guys doing this, raising money to make research better and making it more aware.
Please support today by calling 877-738-1234. You're listening to the 18th annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. Please help us support the inspiring, strong, and brave patients at the Jimmy Fund.
So they told me a lot of information. At first, it was a lot to take in because they were like, this is what you'll be doing. This is a side effect. This is a medicine. And it was all really overwhelming. And they're nurses, and I was a 10-year-old. So it was kind of confusing, too, to, like, understand what was fully going on in that moment.
Dial 877-738-1234 to make a gift. Now back to Dale and Keefe on the 18th annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
We are getting ready to wrap up our portion of this. We will be here till, well, the top of the hour, and OMF will be coming through the door then. But I will tell you that this thing is going to go on until at least midnight. And if the phones are ringing, we'll keep them ringing all night long if that's what we have to do.
Absolutely. We're just about 2.2 million right now. And I know people are still on the phones. We've had a bunch of people doing the matching hours. So I'm sure those, as we close out this hour, those numbers will continue to grow. Plus, you have OMF, as you said, you got another game between the Sox and the Phillies, and then everything after that as well. So it's been a great couple of days here, at least for us, Dale. And I know, like you said, it's going to keep going here for a while.
Coming up about 45 minutes from now, somewhere around 2:30, you're going to have one of the most unique listening experiences I can think of, where OMF will be joined by the coaches / manager of all four of the major pro sports teams here in town. Celtics head coach Brad Stevens, Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy, Red Sox manager Alex Cora, and Patriots head coach Bill Belichick will all be on OMF all at the same time, beginning at 2:30.
Well, and we were talking with David Price earlier about sort of the connection that they have with other athletes in the town from other sports, and it's not more apparent than it is with the head coaches and the manager, right? I mean, we've seen Brad Stevens out at Patriots practice before and talking with Bill Belichick.
Bruce Cassidy was down at Patriots practice a week or so ago.
Oh, exactly. So the four of them together, and as we've discussed, there's not a city. I mean, the teams are great, but all the coaches are guys that you would want. Usually there's always the one where you're like, yeah, you could probably improve there. You could probably do a little bit better. But instead, you have Cassidy, who quickly takes his team to the Cup Final. You have Alex Cora, who won the World Series in year one. You have Brad Stevens, which would be on the very, very short list of best head coaches in the NBA right now, who's gone to a couple of conference finals. And then, obviously, you have Belichick, who's in another tier unto himself.
He's a different stratosphere,
but still, it's going to be cool to see those guys all interacting with each other. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I don't know. In fact, my guess is you never get all four of them able
to
communicate with each other.
Yeah.
And as it is, Belichick will not be here physically
right
at Fenway Park. The other three will be. He's got a little football team. He's got a coach down in Foxborough.
They got a game tomorrow.
And a game tomorrow night. So they were doing a walkthrough today. But just, I don't know if the four of them have ever been able to talk at the same time with each other.
No, I can't imagine. You think maybe they're on like a text group. You think like the four
little
of them
group text thing?
Coaches text, you know, you got text chains of certain group friends, right? You know, on there.
That'd be a pretty cool text chain to be a part of.
I'd like
wouldn't
to
it?
Jump in on there, see what those guys are talking
see
about.
See if they've got anything they want to share with us. Well, that's coming up at the bottom of the next hour, and I know it'll be an amazing thing to listen to.
Yeah.
The amount of time that we've been able to spend here over the last 2 days, and I'm going to go spend an hour on TV in a little while as well, so I'm going to continue on here for a while, but I continue to just be awestruck by the strength and the spirit of the people that we deal with.
Well,
here.
And Dale, you've done it all 18 years. This is only my third year, but I even noticed a difference between year one and two in the number of positive stories.
Yes.
And now even year two and three, again, that's sort of been a theme, which is fantastic. Now, again, unfortunately, they are not all going to be happy stories, but there are much more of them. And I know you and other, you know, Glenn, who will be coming in here, those first several years, man, you're interview after interview of people that this treatment didn't work for me, or this didn't work, and you know we fought hard, and unfortunately it's over. But throughout the days, you know, listening in the morning and our show, and then OMF afterwards, so many people with just positive experiences and new treatments that weren't even available a couple of years ago are now saving their lives today.
Well, and the story just earlier in the hour with Dr. Matalonis and Katie, if she had been to see the doctor 8 weeks prior
Isn't
to
that unbelievable? Yeah.
That immunotherapy had not been approved.
Eight
weeks was the difference. And I know we talk about what your dollars mean.
Yeah.
The research money, and we're now over $2.2 million, but the research money, and this is going on every single day.
Right.
It's a unique program they've got going on at the Dana-Farber. It's both a treatment facility and one of the world's preeminent research facilities.
Right. They are balancing the two, and they're learning new things every day, but the advancements that they have now and the trials and different treatments that they're able to give to people, and they're saving lives. They're saving more lives today than they were yesterday, and they're going to save more lives tomorrow than they were today. It's unbelievable.
I'm not above begging. In fact,
Now's the time.
I'm happy to beg. I beg that if you haven't yet made the call, if you haven't yet made your gift, I'm begging you to do it. The phone number to do it, and we've got volunteers standing by right over my right shoulder, is 877-738-1234. That's 877-738-1234. But there are other ways that you can make your gift as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, K-Cancer, you text that into 20222. You're going to donate $25. So a number of different ways. Call, text, log on to the website. It's very easy to do. If you're thinking about doing it, do it. You know, you've already made the thought.
And even if you haven't thought about doing it,
you're listening to us right now, you should do it. You're going to feel better about it. I guarantee you, that's a Rich Keefe guarantee, Dale. You will feel better about yourself if you donate today.
I would be willing to say that you are exactly right. And tomorrow, we'll kind of recap some of this with you when we get a chance to visit. It's one of those weird days tomorrow because we've got...
Oh, what's the deal with tomorrow,
we've got a baseball game that might last four pitches.
What's the
story? It might last four innings. We don't know.
So they're resuming the game in the 10th inning.
Yes.
Tomorrow at...
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. What's the deal? Is there like a full pregame? Who's on
no,
the call?
No, there's no pregame.
There's no pregame. So we're on until one.
That's, as I understand
right.
it, yes.
Well, that's fair enough,
and
I guess.
And there's, look, here's the beauty of it.
Are we doing play-by-play?
We?
Are we? Yeah, you and me. What do you mean, Doug? What do you mean, why not me? No. It might be two pitches. How do you know?
Here's
not a full game tomorrow, not tonight.
Here's the
tomorrow. I think Doug just told me I'm doing the game. Fine.
Oh, good.
Yeah, if anybody wants to join me, then that's fine. I've been working on my
home
run calls.
The question is, what if it becomes a 9-inning tilt for you tomorrow?
Well, I'm going to need a lot of water then. And that game fuel I was drinking the other night.
What is your home run?
My home run call? Sweet Sassy Molassie.
Well,
that's my home run call.
I would go with that. Our thanks to all the folks from the Jimmy Fund and the Dana-Farber who are down here, the countless volunteers. All of the people, you guys especially, but the engineers, the behind-the-scenes people, it is an entire station event here, And you've been now through three of them, Rich. And,
three of them.
And
yeah.
I love everything about this.
It is. It's fantastic. It goes by so fast. And looking forward to the interviews coming up later today from both the coaches as well as the patients, the doctors. Real quick, Dale, from the last 2 days that we've had, Matt Grizzlick, Brock Holt, Lisa Sherber, Kevin O'Connor and his father, Xander Bogaerts, David Price, Nathan Eovaldi, Dave Dombrowski, Terry Francona, Jerry Remy, Sean McDonough, Alex Rodriguez. It's been fantastic.
It's been great. And keep listening. Keep phoning. Keep giving. OMF is coming up next. They've got the coaches roundtable coming up at the bottom of the next hour. Live from Fenway Park. You're listening to the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon presented by the Arbella Insurance Foundation.